His eyes were so, they were just not like any eyes that I've ever seen. They were so beautiful and so loving and so warm and yet so strong that they seemed to take care of all the rest of it, of what apparent physical weakness there was. It just really, one would easily forget that because he was just, his eyes were really so powerful. And I looked at his hands and I looked at his feet, and he was doing this funny thing. He would sit there and he would do this sort of, you've seen it in films, would do this sort of motioning with his hand as it was hanging off the edge of the chair. And I remember that was sort of fascinating. I didn't know what it was. And he had beautiful feet. His feet looked just like a young woman or something. I mean, just beautiful feet, not like someone who'd ever worn shoes and or anything, just beautiful. And so first part was really taken up by how are you and whatnot. And Baba asked if we had children and just normal sort of talk like that. And then he looked very serious. And it was strange because he didn't say anything. And there was quiet in the room and he looked really serious. And I remember kind of sort of feeling that. Kind of a heaviness in the room, and then he said, "Have you stopped taking drugs?" And we said, "Yes, Baba." And then the next second, he smiled, and his smile was so beautiful. It was like the whole world was happy or something. It lifted up the atmosphere just tremendously, and he was happy, and he beamed. He was happy because we had obeyed him, I guess. And it was really remarkable. And then, I don't know in which sequence things took place, but then he said, "Who do you think I am? Who do you take me to be?" And he looked at Mick. And Mick said, "I think you're the living Christ." And I remember, so like, what? I mean, I didn't say anything, but it was so surprising to me. I didn't know what it meant, the living Christ. I kind of didn't sort of understand the concept of the avatar. I had no idea, and the living Christ, never thought about it. And what surprised me most is that he had never told me. I was like, what? Wait a minute. But it went so fast, and then Baba looked at me, and he said, "Who do you think I am?" And I looked at him and I said, "I have no idea. I don't know." And he said, "I'm God in human form. And I know this because I constantly experience it. I, just like you know that you're a woman, you don't wonder, am I a woman or am I a man? You know through constant experience that you're a woman. And just like that, I know through constant experience that I'm God in human form." And he looked at me while he said it. And I sat there and just, it totally blew my mind. It was the only thing that I could feel and that I could sort of realize was that that is who he is, because the authority with which he said it and the way with which he said it just left absolutely no room for doubt in my mind. It is when the avatar says that he's God in human form, that is who he is. And it was very simple. And I had no spiritual experience. I didn't get any lights or colors or anything. It just simply appealed to my innermost understanding that that is who he is, because he said that's who he is. And this so devastated me, and that I suddenly found myself sitting in front of God in human form, that I started to cry and I completely lost my composure, and I sat there and I was weeping and I was sobbing and I didn't know what to do. And the worst part about it was that I didn't have a handkerchief. All my belongings were outside, and so I was sitting there and I wore a black sweater and my nose was running like crazy, and I had nothing else to do but to wipe it on my sleeve, and it leave these sort of silver lines along my arm. And I was quite embarrassed, actually, to sit there in front of what I just found out to be God in human form, but God. It was just a real joke. But I, you know. So I was fairly much a basket case for the rest of the meeting. I really didn't contribute anymore. And Baba asked things like, do you have any questions? And I mean, the questions, there was no way I could possibly have a question. What am I going to ask God? And so I said, no, definitely not. And Mick didn't have any questions either. And this somehow seemed to upset Adi, because Adi was sitting there on the floor next to Baba. And Adi, I guess, thought we were going to have some hard question and he's going to get to hear the answer or something. So Adi, right there next to Baba, said, oh, come on, ask him anything. This is from Chen. But we didn't. And Baba asked us how we were going to go to the United States and how we're going to go travel and all this. And then he told us that what we should do is go to America and we should persuade young people from taking drugs. We should encourage people to stop taking drugs. He said, to do that, to persuade people not to take drugs, was the highest spiritual work to be done in the world today, and that is what we should do. And he also said, I love you more than you can ever love yourself. I will help you inwardly. And he asked if we had read God Speaks. And Mick said yes, and he asked me, and I said no, I hadn't, that I couldn't read it because it was too difficult. And he suggested a book that had been translated into German. And then Baba's secretary, Adi, later gave me a copy of that. And he also asked if we had read Stay with God. And he said that God Speaks and Stay with God were the two most important books to read. And he asked if we had gone to the birthday celebration in Delhi and just sort of small talk, but just things like, and he asked about whether we had children, and there was a certain amount of private discussion on that issue. And then he said that we should kiss him and leave. And so Mick got up and embraced Baba and kissed him, and then I got up and embraced Baba, and Baba kissed each of us on both cheeks, and then we left. And he said that we should leave Ahmednagar that day. We should go to America. We should move, just not delay, and keep going. And we should have lunch with Adi, but we should leave Nagar that day to be on our way. And we should not spend the night in Ahmednagar. And we went to Adi's office for lunch. And as we were having lunch with Adi, a bicycle messenger came from Baba. And Baba asked if we needed any money. If we needed money, Adi was to give us money. And we said, no, thank you. We have plenty of money to get back to the United States. And so we spent lunchtime with Adi, and then we left. And that's the story.
Beloved Baba and my brothers and sisters, I am very happy today to be with you and share some of my love of beloved Baba. It is a wonderful opportunity given by Baba for me. For me, it is like a pilgrimage of Mayor Baba's love to be able to come to the United States for the second time. And I am really very much grateful to beloved Baba. As dear Ed has told, that I have grown up in Baba's love, but I think that is also His grace that He has given me birth in the family which was so close to Him. My father, Ramchandra Gadekar, he came from a very poor family, and he was a student when he came in contact with Baba. His family lived in Ahmednagar. And I think the best way to tell regarding how I came in contact with Baba, it would be better to tell how my father came in Baba's contact. Because I, for one, do not know. And even this story of how my father came in Baba's contact I would not have known in detail, but for the account that is written in the diary of my mother. And this diary of my mother was written from 1970 onwards, when she was staying with us. So we go back to the year 1924, when Ramchandra Gadekar was studying in the college. He was an intermediate and coming from poor family, and because of his urge of education, he was continuing his study in the American. His schooling he had in American mission school, a missionary school run by the Catholics in Ahmednagar, and the family was very poor, and he didn't have enough money for purchasing the books also. And during his college days and earlier years, he along with the poverty, he was also not keeping good health. He was having pain in the stomach, and this pain in the stomach was very painful, and it wouldn't go for many months in spite of treatment from different doctors like Ayurvedic doctors and allopaths and all that. And it would interfere with his studies and other things. But still he pursued it. And one of his friends in Ahmednagar, he told him that in Ahmednagar there is a saint, very saintly person, Meher Baba. And when now you have met all these people and not all the different doctors couldn't cure, so why not at least have a chance? You go and meet Meher Baba, have his darshan, and maybe by the grace of God or by the grace of Master, you will be cured. So one day they started on bicycle from Ahmednagar. They took some coconut paper and some flowers, as it is the custom in the village when they meet the holy person. And from Ahmednagar they went to Meher Baba. This is when Baba was having the ashram at that time, and Baba was speaking at that time. We all know that Baba started observing silence from 10th of July 1925. It was his early days, and the early Mandali was with him. And at that time, Baba used to give darshan in Meher Baba to lovers who would come from Ahmednagar and nearby villages on Sundays and other holidays. And as my father was riding the bicycle, he was mentally revising that when he will meet Baba, that he will tell Baba about his ailment and try to get some relief. He had not read about any philosophy, or he was brought up in the normal Hindu way and had very little knowledge also regarding this higher aspects of spirituality. So when they reached Meher Baba, Baba was sitting there with the mandali, and then these youths, they went and bowed down to Baba and offered these flowers and this coconut. And Baba was really happy, and he was sitting with the mandali. Mandali was deciding in his sister to where they were sitting. Then, as was Baba's habit, as told by Ursula, he inquired that, who are you and where are you coming from, what is your name, and like that. So after this, Baba asked, what do you want? Why have you come to me? Then my father spontaneously said that I want God realization. Now this was very strange even to himself and a friend, because they had never talked with each other on this matter, and this came just spontaneously. Then Baba smiled. To him also probably this was very interesting. And then he said that, do you know what is God realization? Then my father said that, he just kept quiet. Then Baba said that it is difficult to have God realization, but don't worry. And on that day, all the mandali Baba gave a discourse on God realization in front of father who had come today, and Baba spoke for many minutes on God realization and its importance. And then after this discourse was over, Baba inquired about the family background and other things. And then my father remembered that what he really came was for his stomach ailment. Then Baba was told about the stomach ailment. And then Baba said that, don't worry, it's all right. And then he gave some medicines or prescribed some medicines. And after my father and his friend returned, they started taking medicines, and after some time, he got relief. And that illness didn't recur at all. So this is how he was attracted by Baba. And then afterwards, he started going regularly. And then my father and his grandparents, they were shoemakers. They were coming from very lowest state of the society. They would stitch the shoes and all that. So during this ashram days, when Baba was having ashram, there were different families who would attend to the needs of the mandali. There was a barber and shoemaker and so on and so forth. So this family of my father, they moved to Mehrabad and started living there. My father was married then. That was his first wife. And my father, his wife, then my father's younger brother and his parents, all of them moved and started living in Mehrabad. And that is how they came. He was more contact.
What year was that?
That was after 1924-25, where Baba started his silence also. And during this period of 24, and since Baba started silence in July, my father would go as often as possible. He heard Baba speak. He heard Baba sing. Baba had a beautiful voice. And he would sing the Sabang of Tukaram. And he would also play the drums. And we have seen Baba's picture with one leg on the drum. And Baba would play the drums with so much vigor. And his fingers were so tender that he would bleed from the fingers. And he wouldn't know even, and he would continue beating this, playing the drums. So later on, the school was there, and my father taught in the school also. And not only that, he left the college, and for 2 years he stayed in Mehrabad. But then Baba again said that now you don't leave your schooling. You continue your schooling. So he left, he moved from Ahmednagar and went to Pune in 1926 and joined Ferguson College. And even though he was in Pune, he would come to Ahmednagar during the vacations, summer vacations, and stay in the ashram. And Baba would inquire about him and his progress. In 1928, he passed from, he gave the university examination and came to stay again in ashram. And on the day of the result of the examination, he was sitting with Baba, and the result is declared in the newspaper and the numbers are given. And when in that morning he went and met Baba, then Baba asked, Baba told him that today is the result of your examination and your result has come. What is your number? Then my father said that this is my number, Baba. Then Baba looked at the newspaper and said, oh, I'm sorry, you have failed. Then my father said, by that time he had read literature and he had was getting prepared also mentally and he had surrendered. Then he said that, Baba, whatever is your will happen. Then Baba said, don't worry, here is your number and you have passed, and I'm very happy. He called him here and he embraced him and patted him. So he again went back to Pune and started continuing his study. Then it was in Pune that he met my mother. And she came from a fairly good family. And during their course of meeting, they talked about, my father told about Baba and encouraged my mother to come and have Baba Darshan. So in the year 1929, my mother and her friends from Pune and my father and their friends, about about 7-8 young people, they came to Amarnath and had Baba darshan. And when my mother bowed down to Baba, Baba remarked to the Mandali that they would make a good pair, my father and mother. So that is how this marriage was arranged. And in 1930, my parents got married in Amarnath. At that time, Baba was present at the marriage ceremony with the Mandali. And he distributed sweets. First, he gave the sweets to the newlyweds and distributed to the Mandali. And that is how this marriage was celebrated and the life started. Then, after his graduation, my father joined the government service and was in the education department and would be transferred from place to place. But he was so much full of love with Baba, and he was studying Baba's literature, and he would, wherever he would go, he would tell people about Baba. And in the year 19, then we were born, my elder sister and myself, and Baba would always give him instructions, and he was in constant correspondence with Baba. And we have got letters in our house which are signed by Baba, addressed to my father, and many of his instructions. So during the earlier period, Baba had always said that when you surrender me, there is no need to go to any other person. When I am there, you have got the highest of the high, you have got the God incarnation. So what is the need for going? Even to my own Sadgurus, who are responsible for bringing me as an avatar, there is no need to go. But during the year 1931 or 32, during their early years of marriage, one son was born to my parents. And with that small child, they decided to go to Sakuri and have darshan of Upasani Maharaj. And it was winter time, and this young child was hardly a month old. And with the young child, and not realizing the significance of Baba's instructions, this young married couple, they went to Sakuri and stayed in the ashram. Now, in the ashram of Upasani Maharaj, there was very strict rule and very strict observance of rules by all the inmates. And one has to go in the early morning, get up in the early morning, go to the well, take out the water from the well and bathe, and then all the rituals. Upasani Maharaj's ashram ritual was very ritualistic, and he was observing caste system also. So, because of this very getting up early in the morning, and when this water would have to be drawn, then that child would be put on the floor early in the morning in the freezing cold. So like that. So it developed fever, and my father was also not keeping good health. So somehow they stayed for 10 days and came back to Sangamnir. That is where they were staying. And within about 10 days time, this child died. And then this was known to Baba, and they also realized that whatever they have done was not right. And actually, when Upasani Maharaj met them, Upasani Maharaj asked them that, who are you, where are you coming from? Then they told that we are disciples of Nirva. Then Upasani Maharaj said, when you are disciples of Nirva, why are you coming to me? You have found the highest of the high. So like that, they came back again, and this is how this I am narrating, because Baba has given instructions that when you have found me, you should always follow me or try to love me with as much heart as possible. And then there is no need to go anywhere else. So this is one concrete example I am giving, which has happened. But and then they remembered Baba's words. And during that year also, my father had a fracture and he broke the arm and so many other things happened. Then they remembered Baba's words. And since then, they would follow Baba's instructions as to the letter. Then later on, during 1937, subsequently we were born, and my father got a scholarship from the government of India. to study education in the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And he had to go for about 2 years. And we were young. And then, you see, it was a habit in our family that if anything happened, we would go to Baba and tell him our personal problems, and then he would say that you do like that. So, when this was told, then Baba was very happy that we are going, that he was going abroad. And he was the first person from our area who would be going abroad. Then to my mother, Baba said that don't worry, let him go if he's going. Don't worry, he will, and you remain and you take care of the family. And my nazar will be on him, don't worry. So it's all right. So my mother was happy. And then we went to Bombay to see my father off, because he was to go on the ship. And when we went to the dock, we were small children. I was hardly 2 and my sister was about 4. When we went to see the dock, and as he was going into the cabin, what did my mother find? That on the same boat, Baba was also traveling together. Then my mother realized what Baba meant, that my nazar will be on him. So they traveled together, and then he met Baba. He was with Baba in London also for some time, and it is during that period that Dr. Deshmukh met Baba in London. This was 1937. So after then he returned to India and started Baba joined the service in. From education, he joined the education department, became an officer, and he would be posted at different places. And as Ed has told, he devoted his complete life for Baba's work and for Baba's spreading Baba's message. And Baba was also very fond of him. He was very simple in heart and would always tell Baba whatever is in mind, because in the group of Mandali, as Ursula knows, Baba would ask individually that what have you done, what is in your mind, what are you thinking, and like that. And Mandali were also fond of him because he would be so simple, like a child, that whatever was really inside the mind, he would tell Baba. It may appear to be very funny or very simple or very childish. So Baba would always remark that Gadakari is like a child, his heart is pure like a child. That's pure. So subsequently, we moved to Solapur, and at that we used to have Baba meetings in our house every week. And at that time, I'm talking about early 40s, Baba's birthday was celebrated all over the India at different places at Baba lovers, Baba centers, like Solapur, Bangalore, Madras, and so on. And his birthday would be celebrated by inviting people and also by arranging lectures on Baba, then singers would be brought and so on. So in the year 1943, Baba deputed his representative, Mandali, at different places where Baba's birthday was celebrated. And their task was to report to Baba which center celebrated the birthday best. So Dr. Gani was sent to Solapur. And in Solapur, where we were staying, Dr. Abdul Gani Munsif, he came for this as Baba's special emissary for birthday celebrations. And then this birthday was, birthday was arranged with great care and planning, and a big hall was arranged, and in the hall, Baba's lecture was there. And there was a musical program, and hundreds of people attended that meeting. And then when all these emissaries came and reported to Baba about this Baba celebration of birthdays from different places, then Dr. Gani had his turn and he narrated this celebration in Solapur. And Baba was very happy. He said that it is very good. I am very happy that the Solapur Center is doing good work. And then after a couple of months, Baba sent letter that I am coming to Solapur for darshan program. So this was in the year 1943, in May. And but Baba said that I'll be coming with 40 Mandali members. And I want a good accommodation for staying to keep bungalow, which will be entirely at my disposal. And we were staying in a moderate house. We were not staying in this house. But to accommodate Baba and his family, we rented a very big bungalow, which was adjacent to the small house where we were staying. And there, all arrangements were made. My father and my mother, they even furnished the house and one room. It was a big bungalow, like Guru Prasad, with a room, special room for Baba on the first floor. It is in Kolhapur, the central place. And Baba came. And this bungalow we got cleaned and it was totally for Baba. And we were still staying in this small house which was about a block away from the bungalow. It's the same premises, less than a block away. And Baba came with the Mandali, 40 people were there. And Baba stayed for 1 week. And during this whole period, Baba's food and the Mandali's food was cooked, all the meals were cooked by my mother. And she would take that personally and serve to Baba. Baba used to like the food very much. We were children at that time, at this school going about 7, 8, 9 years old. And I remember that the whole darshan program would go on for the day and people would be coming from all over Solapur and the children would be coming from school and they would be taking Baba darshan and prasad will be given. During this period, Baba visited Siddheshwar temple also, that is Shiva temple. And there he told the pujari that Lord Shiva has come himself to pray in the Shiva temple. So, like this, Baba's activities were going on. My father was doing this event. And from Solapur, he was transferred to Ahmedabad. And we were staying in a bungalow on the station road, from which is the road which is going from Ahmednagar city to Mehrabad. And there was bungalow and this compound was there. So Baba would come visit our house many times as he would be on way to Mehrabad and with Mandali, with Eraj and Pendu and other disciples. And many and there in that house also we had kept a separate room for him. And many times he would come unannounced or uninformed. And then we would be helter-skelter and we'd be picking up the things and putting them nicely for Baba and like that. And my elder sister, she was very, very frank with Baba. So was also my mother. So my mother would say many times, Baba, we are very happy that you are coming and visiting our house. And we are very glad and we are grateful. But you at least tell us in advance so that we can prepare the house for you properly. Then Baba used to say that I don't have to announce my arrival in my own home. There is no need for telling when I am coming in my own home. Your house is my house, so I am coming there. So don't worry, be natural, be as whatever you are. And but once he did come with announcement, with proper intimation, prior intimation. And that time, he told that I will come on that particular day. And my father being in the education department, he was in touch with these different schools. So one of the principals was a Baba lover. So my father told him that Baba is coming on such and such day, such and such time. So on that day, when Baba was coming, we had prepared prasad also for Baba and his mandali, about 40 people come to Baba. And Baba came in the car and he alighted from the car and went to the room and he sat in the room. And suddenly we find that about 400 children have come from the school. Because this principal who knew that Baba is coming, he brought the whole school for Baba. And Baba was very happy with the children, and they sang for Baba, and they welcomed Baba. And then Baba said, I want to give prasad to the children. So the whole prasad was brought, and then Baba distributed with his hand this prasad. And my mother was so much worried that this prasad which was prepared for 40 people, how it will be sufficient for 400 people. But by Baba's grace, everything went on well, and my mother couldn't believe her eyes. That even after giving the prasad to all people, there was still something left. So like that, there are many incidences and in the life of my father. And he obeyed Baba to the last. And he was with the Sahavas group. And he was in the seclusion also. Baba had He joined Baba in seclusion in 1968. Twice he was at Mirabad with Baba during seclusion. 58. And the Solapur Center, then the Ahmadnagar Baba Bar, the Nasik Center, Una Center, all these centers were, all these lovers in these places, they are brought to Baba by him. Madhusudan, then Ramakrishnan, who runs the Pune Center now, and other people. Even Guru Prasad Bangalore, Maharani Shanta Devi, how Guru Prasad was obtained, that is also another story. But we are not having much time, you see. We can go on for long, but there is constraint of time. But I'll tell only one thing about my father, that in 1958, he was not feeling well. He started having trouble, and he was having swollen glands in the armpit and in the neck. And at that time, when Baba came to know about it, then Baba said, don't worry, you think about me constantly. And then I had completed my schooling, and I got a scholarship to come out to the United States. And with Baba's grace, I came to study in the United States in 1959 in the same university. I was a student of the University of California, Berkeley. And I stayed here for 1.5 years in 59 and 60. And when I was here, when I left India and came over here, that time also my father was not sitting there. And these tests were conducted. My sister was in medical college at that time, final year. And it was established that he had cancer. My father had cancer. And then when when I was to come here, then we met Baba. And my mother was knowing, but my father was not knowing. And my mother was very much upset about the whole thing. That how I am going to, why? Because I was the only son. And I was going to the United States for study, and my father was not there. Baba said, don't worry, let him go. If Digambar is going to go to the United States, let him go. My nazar will be on him, and it is all right. Doesn't matter, let him go. So his health became worse, and this trouble was more, and this cancer was progressing. Then Baba came to know about it, and Baba said that every human being has to die. According to the cycle of creation, even the God man, he has to drop a body. So there is no need to worry. You should not worry about the thing, but take the things as they come and think about me constantly. He told my father, my father didn't know till the end, but he told my father that you remember me constantly, more and more. He was on leave, and he was being treated at home by doctors. And in March, on this Mahashivaratri day, when this illness became very severe, and when he was seriously ill, my father was, we were staying in Pune at that time. Baba with the Niraj, he visited our house, and my father was in bed. And that day was Mahashivaratri day. That is the day of the Lord Shiva. And my father was weeping in the bed, that he said, Baba, I am so much ill and sick, and I don't know, I cannot get up and even bow down to you. Baba said, don't worry, you regard yourself fortunate, because today is Mahashivaratri day, and Lord Shiva himself has come before you for giving you darshan. You forget about everything and take my name constantly. Remember me. So he started remembering him and repeating Baba's name, constant japa. And though he was in excruciating pain, doctors had prescribed him sedatives and injections, but he refused the injections so that there would be a break in the repetition of Baba's name. And on 12th of March, just after a few minutes after midnight, see, that was Thursday, and in Pune every Thursday Baba's bhajan satsang. And on that particular time, one of the bhajans which was composed by my father, it was being sung in Pune. And 10 minutes after 12, this Baba's repetition of name and breath stopped at the same time. They dropped it by repeating Baba's name constantly till the last time. Then when this news was told to Baba, Baba was not in Pune. Baba had told my mother that you inform me when Gadikar drops body, and then I will tell you what is to be done. So then Baba told that you perform the rite, everything. And then letter was sent. I read that letter also. That letter was written when my father was seriously ill. It was written about one week before my father passed away. It was written by Iraj. I will just read that letter. Written by Iraj to my father. This is dated 1st of February 1959. My dear Gadekar Sai, Baba took great interest in the contents of your letter of 20th Ultimo. Baba knows how you have taken and are taking great pains to spread your beloved Baba's message of love and truth in Pune and elsewhere, wherever you are posted. All this labor of love will never and cannot go in vain. Baba also knows how much pain and discomfort you are undergoing at present due to swollen glands. All this pain should never be taken by you as paying for your sins, because he has written that I must have committed sins in the past life for which I am paying now. No, it is to give you greater opportunity to remember Baba more frequently. Baba wants you to bear the pain patiently in loving him the more. Baba says that he is well pleased with your efforts, your deep love for him, your unfailing support and your cooperation to Baba lovers at all times and under every situation, and this time under severe physical pain and discomfort. Baba feels very proud of having such lovers. Now Baba wants you to concentrate your attention loving him more and more. So do this, remember more and much more. Repeat Baba's name silently as often as you can do so, and remain engrossed in your love and devotion for the beloved of all hearts, that is Baba. Stop worrying about Digambar, Tai, that is my sister, or Gunatai, that is mother. Let them now worry for your comforts and health. You had enough worries for them in the past. Give them a chance to give their share and let them play their parts. Instead of worrying for this, that and them, get seriously engrossed in him, his and his work. This is the time for you to do this. Now is the time for you to feel completely relaxed from the routine worries and to get engrossed in the joy and peace that prevail when one shares Baba's pleasures and happiness with other fellow beings, relations, neighbors, friends and all the rest. Baba sends his very dear love to his very dear Tukaram and to Gunatai, Tai and Digambar. Was friendly. Then when this news was conveyed to Baba, Baba sent a message to my mother, in which a telegram which read like this: Gadekar was dear. Now he